the introduction of man into the garden, the command God gave him, and the threatening God attached to it. Genesis 2:15. And Jehovah God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. After God had created and variously adorned the universe of heaven and earth, he next prepared the Garden of Eden, which he willed to be the habitation and royal seat of man, to whom he had committed the government over all other living creatures of the earth, the heaven, and the sea. And now God places man into that garden, as in a citadel and a temple, from which he had liberty to go out and to walk abroad in any other part of the earth, which also was most fruitful and most delightful, and there to amuse and delight himself with the beasts and other animals when and as he wished. And God gives to Adam a twofold charge, that he should work or till this garden, and also that he should guard and defend it. Some faint vestiges of this original command yet remain in these miserable remnants of primitive things, which we still possess. For even to this day, these two things must ever be joined together, not only that the earth should be tilled, but also that the productions of that cultivation should be defended. But both these great principles are corrupted and marred in an infinite number of forms. For not the tillage of the earth itself only, but the defense of it also, are filled with every kind of misery and trouble. And what the cause of all this sorrow is will be fully clear to us shortly in the following chapter of this book, for we shall there see that this working or tillage of the earth is defiled and embarrassed by thorns, by thistles, by the sweat of the brow, and by various and unending misery, for, to say nothing about the labor and sorrow of procuring necessary food, what difficulty, what labor attended even the bringing up a child from its birth. If Adam, therefore, had remained in his innocency, he would have cultivated the earth and planted his beds of spices, not only without toil or trouble, but as an amusement, attended with exquisite pleasure. His children, when born, would not have long needed the breast of their mother, but in all probability would have started on their feet, as we now see chickens do by nature, and would have sought their own food from the fruits of the earth without the helplessness or weakness, and without any labor or sorrow of their parents. But now, how great do we behold to be the pain and misery of our birth, our infancy, and our growth. If we speak of food and the misery attending it, not only have beasts the same general produce of the earth, now no longer an Eden, which we have, but men defraud men of the same and rob them of it by theft and plunder. Hence hedges and walls and other strong defenses are found necessary for the protection of property. And even by these, the produce we have obtained by the labor and sweat of cultivation can scarcely be preserved in safety. Thus we have, indeed, a remnant of the labor of cultivation, but very far different from the employ of that original tillage. Not merely because it is attended with the greatest toil and distress, but because the ground itself, being as it were unwilling, yields sparingly, whereas to Adam it yielded as it were with the greatest joy and with the richest abundance, whether he sowed his seed within Eden itself or in any other part of the earth. There was then no danger from plunderers and murderers. All was in perfect peace and safety. In all these respects, therefore, we can form an idea of the mighty evil of sin, when we behold the thorns, the briars, the sweat of the brow, etc., which are before us. Whichever way we turn, the magnitude of that evil is ever present. Hence, man did not fall by sin in soul only, but in body also, and both participate in the punishment. For labor is a punishment, which in the state of innocence was an amusement and a pleasure. Even as now, in the present state of the misery of nature, if anyone has a productive garden, neither digging, nor sowing, nor planting is a labor, but a certain devoted employment and a delight. What then must have been this employment and delight in the Garden of Eden, in the state of original innocence? How much more pleasurable and perfect! And here also we may reflect with profit that man was not created to idleness, but to labor. No, not even in the state of primitive innocence. Wherefore, every state of an idle or indolent life is condemnable, such, for instance, as the life of monks and nuns. As the original labor and employment of man were unattended with sorrow or distress, as we have shown, so also this guarding and protecting of that which he possessed was full of pleasure and delight, whereas now all such protection is full of labor and peril. Adam could have stopped or driven away even bears and lions by a single word. We have now indeed our means of defense, but they are truly horrible, for we cannot do without swords and spears and cannon and walls and ramparts and castle fosses, etc., and even with all these we and our loved ones scarcely abide in safety. Hence we have scarcely the feeblest traces remaining either of the original work or the original protection. Others expound this passage differently, making it to mean that God might till and keep it. But the text speaks of human tilling and human keeping absolutely. So Cain, just below, Genesis 4:2, is said to have been a tiller of the ground. And in Job and Ecclesiastes, kings are called tillers of the earth or husbandmen, not merely on account of their labor itself in tillage, but on account of their guardianship and protection. But as I have all along said, labor and protection are now hard and difficult terms. But originally they were terms denoting a certain delightful employment and exquisite pleasure.